I'd like to begin this morning's sermon part by looking at a very famous passage from Hebrews 11. It's a passage that's all about people of faith, people that we remember as people of faith. And while it's coming onto the screen, I'm going to begin reading it to you this morning. This is what Hebrews 11 says. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we don't see. By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And then we skip forward another few verses, and it says, we're playing... I'm clicking forward and Jeff is clicking back and we're having a little bit of a game at the moment. Anyway, where'd we got to? No, it's fine. And we've found that faith is important. We've heard about the faith of Abraham. I'm now going to go to verse 24. I'm skipping ahead. And it says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded distance for the sake of Christ. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is impossible. So we've got Abraham, we've got Moses, and then Jeff, would you like to click on to the next slide so I don't wreck it for you? And then it says, and what more shall I say? This is verse 32. I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. All of those people it talks about in Hebrews 11 of being great people of the faith, people to remember. And then the next chapter in Hebrews says this. Therefore, bearing in mind everything we've just read and loads more that we didn't, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorns its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, remembering the people who've gone before. I've put on my sheet here, we're reminded today who gave those people who gave their lives for the privilege of freedom and the privilege of democracy, who unselfishly were willing to go into the most difficult and awful of situations for others. They kept going, even when they saw their comrades wounded, even when they saw people dying around them. The people that we remember today kept persevering because they knew what they were doing was for the good and for the right, to bring light and to bring hope. We remember people who've shown us good, who've done the right thing. Some of you might know that Sarah and I, at the moment, have got a bit of a reading challenge going on. And we're trying to read a book set in every country of the world. I don't know if we'll make the challenge, but we're doing our very best. And when you read some books set in some countries, it's usually in a point of their history which is quite important to that country, often involving conflict. The book that I read for Cambodia was titled First They Killed My Father. That's not going to be a very pleasant read, is it? And it talked about the Khmer Rouge and lots of awful things that happened there. The book I read a few weeks ago for Holland was, I reread it, it was Corrie Ten Boom's book. Some of you might have read Tramp for the Lord. And what her and her family were trying to do was protect people, protect Jewish people from a Nazi regime, hiding people in her house, to great danger to two and her and her family, but they were trying to do the right thing. But those things that she did for the good and for the light meant that both her sister and her dad were killed. She ended up in a concentration camp. And that would have been the case for thousands and thousands of people. But when you read about one family and you read about the personal story, you understand just how much was sacrificed and just how much was given up. Conflict in the past, conflict all around. But my aim this morning isn't to depress you, because we come to church each week to remember that the darkness will not prevail. We come to remember hope and light, to remember God. In Philippians 4, it says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. We come on a Sunday because we have hope. We put our faith in the Prince of Peace. We remember that through the sacrifices of Jesus on the cross, no difficulty in life is going to lead to darkness. We have a vision. It tells us in that passage from Hebrews that the vision ahead is the vision of home, the vision of Jesus. So we keep running our race. That passage in Hebrews tells us to keep running our race, with the vision going forward of home, of light and hope and Jesus. That's what we run towards. And as I've spoke on this passage before, I've told you that sometimes the race we run, isn't it full of joy and full of goodness? Those of you who have seen the birth of children, grandchildren, those of you who've been to parties this week or had parts of the journey are such good fun. And we celebrate and we have joy. And then there's other parts, aren't there, of the race that we have been asked to run, individual to us, that I'm not going to say run, feel like hobbling up a gradient that looks like this with a strong wind coming the other way. And it's all you can do to put one foot in front of the other. Times can be tough, but we run the race that has been set out individually for us. The vision is home. And the bit that I want to focus on this morning is that cloud of witnesses urging us on. Remembering. Hebrews 11 talks about those great people of faith that we can read about and can inspire us. But I'd like to say this morning that I also think that great cloud of witnesses cheering you on, which is so important, isn't it? Particularly when you're going up that big hill and the wind's against you and you need to keep going among the difficulties of life. Sometimes the great cloud of witnesses is each other, is the people around you, the people praying for you, the people helping you. And as I was thinking about this morning, there are two ladies that came to my mind that I would like to tell you about this morning. You may know them, you may not. They're both still alive. The first lady is a lady from Five Ways, and she's marked out by a distinctive laugh that you could tell from a great distance. Have some of you got an idea who I might be talking about? Her name, my mum's nodded, her name is Margaret. And Margaret at Five Ways ran the Sunday school. And right from when I was very little to when I was a little bit bigger, I went to the Sunday school at Five Ways. And Margaret, week in and week out, organised what I think, and I know I'm biased, is the best possible Sunday school. Sorry to all of you here who are Sunday school leaders, but I think Margaret has the edge. She would have it very well structured. We'd sit in Romans and Corinthians and we'd sit in order of class, which were based on the books of the Bible. We'd have songs, we'd have quizzes, there'd be the birthday where you'd have to get, and there was all this structure to Sunday school, and it was absolutely fabulous. Week in, week out, it had an impact on my life and the lives of the people that I grew up with. And it would have been hard work, wouldn't it, for Margaret? You know, after the second year of doing it, the fourth year of doing it, but she never, ever gave up. And when I was very little in Sunday school, I remember I was in Romans. I think I was probably about five, and I was sat near the front row, which was upstairs. Do you remember the upstairs part of Five Ways with the kind of the piano at the front? People are nodding again. And it sat on there. And Margaret said that if you wanted to become a Christian, if you wanted to have a hope of heaven, if you wanted to live the life of a Christian, then you could sing a song very prayerfully. And some of you might remember the song. It was At the Heart's Door. Do you remember it with actions at the heart store? Helen doesn't remember it. At the heart store, the Saviour's knocking. At the heart store, fast closed by sin. Can't you hear him gently knocking? Draw the bolt and let him in. And I was probably on the front row. I'm pointing to the front row, but it was at Five Ways when I sang that prayer. And I meant it. And I must have meant it because I still remember it now. And I don't remember many things from when I was that age. But that happened. And those events happened because every single week, Margaret was dedicated to presenting in a fun and fabulous way the truths of the gospel to young people. When we talk about the great cloud of witnesses urging us on, I am allowed to count Margaret in that, aren't I? And can you think in your lives of the people that had that effect on you? I said to you, ladies, I've got one more example for you. And again, you probably will know this lady. Again, it's a lady from Five Ways, which is where I grew up. And this lady, she had the older Sunday school group, the teenagers. Now, I work with teenagers quite a lot of the time, and they're not always the easiest group of people to work with, are they? You can't really show that you're happy about something. You want to appear cool. You question everything in life and thinking you know better and all of that. And the lady who I had for Sunday school in my teenage years used to come each week with this kind of diary. It was one of those, do you remember that you used to kind of click and have like little hole punches in, a bit like a file of facts, but it was really like thin and tiny, and she used to have the most small and neat writing. And every week she'd turn to the lesson. She never turned over, so she managed to fit the lesson on just one of these pages. I don't know how. And whatever she spoke on, whatever the theme of the week was, she grabbed our attention. She made the message relevant to us. And I think that's a hard job for teenagers. But it was sometimes she even got science in, politics in, whatever. She would make whatever was in the Bible relevant to us. Now, if I'm going to be very honest with you this morning, this was the time that sometimes I would go to church as well on a Sunday morning. And I would listen to some of the preachers that we had. And I would get, I'm sorry to say, very, very bored. In fact, I used to sometimes read the Bible instead of listening to the message. And the lady who sat behind me in church on a Sunday morning would know how bored I was by how much of the Bible I had read. I shouldn't be admitting this to you, should I, on a Sunday morning? It's why when God said to me, Gemma, will you become a local preacher? I was like, no way. I don't want to be one of those people who stands up. And so I'm telling you that I was a hard target audience in my teenage years. But this lady in Sunday school every single week grabbed my attention. Just think about the time and the effort she must have put in every single week. Must have been quite amazing, hadn't it? And so when we hear that passage about remembering the cloud of witnesses, I think we can think back to our earlier years, or last year if you just come to faith, we can think back to the people who've had an impact by being faithful to God and faithful to someone's calling on your life again and again and again. And I wonder this morning, on Remembrance Day, whether as well as remembering those people who've given their life for democracy and they've given their lives for freedom, whether we could also thank God for the people that have impacted us in the journey of faith. I wonder this morning if you could bring them to mind. I've got a second sermon for you, but before we get there, should we pray this morning? Should we thank God? Lord, thank you that we are in church this morning to remember. We thank you that we can remember people, peoples whose names we don't know, who were willing to die and sacrifice for their country to bring freedom to us. Lord, we thank you for them. We wear our poppies with pride. But Lord, this morning, we would also like to thank you and remember the people in our earlier lives who've helped us in terms of faith. Lord, we thank you for the cloud of witnesses urging us on, asking us to keep running. And Lord, we thank you for them this morning. And we also thank you for your death and resurrection, that Lord, we know that that's the vision of home. The people in our past urging us on, the vision of the finish. We thank you, Lord. Amen. And then I'll try and be quite short with my second sermon this morning. And I'm going to let Jeff put a passage from Habakkuk on the screen. I've got my notes all mixed up. Where am I? Here I am. The second message I'd like to bring to you this morning is from Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is a minor prophet found near the end of the Old Testament. And Habakkuk is living in a really difficult time. It's chaos. It's bedlam. And so Habakkuk cries out to God and says, God, when are you going to change things? And I'll put it in my own words, so forgive me. But he's kind of saying, look. And God explains to Habakkuk that he is going to change things by bringing the Babylonian Empire to overthrow Judah, to overthrow Israel. Well, the Babylonians at that time were thought of as really cruel and terrible and all of that. And so Habakkuk didn't understand this. And he's kind of questioning God. And the book of Habakkuk is this dialogue between Habakkuk and God. And at the end of the book, it's only three chapters long, Habakkuk gets to the position of saying, I might not understand, but whatever goes on, Lord, I'm going to praise you anyway. There may be no sheep in the pens and there may not be olives on the trees, but still, I'm going to praise you, God, for who you are. Before he gets to that point, at the beginning of chapter 3, which is kind of a chapter that's of lament, this is what's on the screen, what Habakkuk says to God. He says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. in wrath, remember mercy. Just like that passage in Hebrews, Habakkuk would have known his history. He would have known all about Abraham. He would have known about Moses parting the Red Sea. He would have known of the amazing things of the past. And he's living in a time where it doesn't seem real. And he's saying to God, Lord, will you do it again? Will you bring us? Will you deliver us? Will you show us a new way? And the reason that this came to my mind this morning is we live in a very different time than Habakkuk. We now have the cross. We have hope. We have light. There's nothing that can happen in our lives that cannot be overcome. We know that we've got a certain future. But still, sometimes in the here and now, we look around us and we think of the past and we say, Lord, could you do again what you did before? I talked about Sunday school earlier. It used to be quite common, hadn't it, for lots of people to go to Sunday school. Now, if you go and talk to children in some of our schools, I know we have Open the Book and lots of other things, but children don't know the gospel like they did in the past. If I speak to children in my school, they don't know. My friends don't know. My friends sometimes tell me, Gemma, where does this fit in? How does... And then the knowledge of people in our country at the moment about faith seems to have decreased. And then we can remember and hear about amazing things that have happened in the past. I love reading about revivals. Did you know that in the Welsh revival around 1904, 1905, and I remember the facts, I was reading it last night, around, they think in that 1 year, 100,000 people came to faith in 1 year. 100,000. Can you imagine if 100,000 people in our community came to faith over the next year? Wouldn't that be amazing? And we can hear about things that are happening in America. You've heard people talk about Asbury Renewal or Revival, where in a college in America, people have been praying and the Spirit of God has fallen. As we remember back, as we hear stories, as we think back, sometimes our prayer is, Lord, will you do it again in our day? We have the same prayer as Habakkuk. I've heard of the past. I've remembered the past. But Lord, I stand in awe and I ask you to do it again. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to end by just saying one or two last things about this. I believe that when that is our prayer, when we're asking God for more, his answer frequently to us is, it starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with me drawing closer to God, to going back to his word, to going back to prayer, to going back to being on your knees and saying, Lord, I would love to see my friends and my family and the people I work with and the children in this country impacted with you, knowing that no matter what happens, there is light and there is hope. But it often starts with us. And God says to us again and again, draw close to me. Hear the nudges of his Spirit directing and helping us. A final passage I'll look at this morning is from Hebrews 10. Jeff, if you'd like to put it on the screen. I have highlighted, or I thought I'd highlighted one or two words, but I don't think they've come through, so let me read it to you. Hebrews 10 says, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened for us through the curtain, that is, his, that's Jesus' body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Will you this morning draw near to God with a sincere heart? And it goes on to say, draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. The passage reminds us that we have hope through the death and resurrection of Jesus. It reminds us to draw near to God and that he is faithful. And it also reminds us, just like that passage in Hebrews, that encouraging one another is so very important, so very key, as we become the cloud of witnesses urging others on. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you've put people in our lives to encourage us, to help us, to support us. And we pray, Lord, going forward, we will be those people to others, that you'll inspire us and direct us by your Holy Spirit, that we will see people's lives impacted by you. Lord, we know that you are sovereign God. You are in control. You are all-powerful. It's sometimes when we're at our weakest that you are at your strongest. So, Lord, guide and direct us as individuals and as a church, we pray. And, Lord, we would be bold enough this morning to pray, Lord, we've heard of such amazing things in the past, that, Lord, we would love things like that to happen again. We would like to see this community in Gornal impacted by your gospel. We would love to see young people wanting to come into church, wanting to come into church groups to experience you. Lord, we pray for the impact of your Spirit and your word on whole families. Lord, help us to be obedient to your direction, we pray. Lord, we're grateful that we can call and ask on you all of these things. And we ask them in your very, very special name, the name that saved us, the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.